I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, CBS Audio Network. I welcome Mary Anastasia O'Grady, the America's editor and columnist for the Wall Street Journal editorial board, introducing me to protectionism, but not current protectionism, not tariffs between the U.S. and China. That's been in the news these last years. No, this is protectionism left over from the 19th and early 20th century that right now the unintended consequences during the pandemic is that it's costing states money, costing U.S. states money, one in particular, Alaska. Mary, a very good evening to you. Protectionism always has a winner and lots of losers. In this case, it appears that the losers include Alaska. What protectionism is preventing cruise ships from visiting Alaska, and how is this part of the larger story of shipping protectionism in America? Good evening to you.
Well, good evening, John. The problem that Alaska is having right now is that a majority of the tourists that visit Alaska in the summertime, which of course is the time to go to Alaska, arrive by ship. And there's an ancient, antiquated law in the United States passed in 1886 that's called the Passenger Vessel Services Act. And that law says that a ship that's sailing from a U.S. port to another U.S. port must be U.S. flagged, U.S. owned, U.S. built, and U.S. crewed. Okay, and it's very hard to get a U.S. ship built today at a price that you can afford to buy and run cruises. It's just out of the question. So what the cruise ships do is that they buy the ships from other countries or built in other countries. They dock them or they put them at the pier in Seattle. And on their cruises to or from Alaska, either going up to Alaska or coming back, they stop in Canada. And so this allows them to fulfill this idea that they need to stop in a foreign port in order not to fall under a violation of the Passenger Vessel Services Act. So they can't go from Seattle to Anchorage. They have to go from Seattle to a foreign country and then to Anchorage. The problem is that for the second summer in a row, Canada has closed its ports. So last summer, Alaskan tourism really suffered a lot. But to have two back-to-back years of no tourists coming from the lower 48 is a real, as I said in my column, gut punch for the Alaskans, because they make, like a lot of tourist places, they make the bulk of their income for the whole year during the summer season. And if these cruise ships don't sail, they are not going to get the tourists they need. They're not going to have the money. They're really having an economic crunch. So that's the problem for, the Americans who normally are harmed by this act, but they found this carve out around it by stopping in Canada. Now that's been eliminated and they're really suffering from this law that's 135 years old.
You mentioned, however, that the two senators, Mr. Sullivan and Ms. Murkowski of Alaska, are not just concentrating on the cruise vessels that are not arriving because the ports in Canada are closed because of the pandemic. They're also recipients of generosity from the maritime lobbies. I imagine other senators are as well. What is it that the maritime lobbies believe they're achieving by being generous towards politicians as far afield as Alaska and as near at hand as Florida? What do they want?
Well, the lobby is preserving the Passenger Vessel Services Act of 1886.
They're 135 years old.
And the Jones Act, which is 1920, which says something similar in cabotage and bringing cargo from one port to another. But sticking with the Passenger Act, this lobby is like all special interest lobby, whether they're sugar producers or what have you. They spend 24/7 and all the excess wealth that they generate by their protectionism in supporting politicians that will protect the existing law, which prohibits these cruise ships that from going from one U.S. port to another. The idea is that it would force ships to be built in the U.S. For example, on the Mississippi River, you do have ships that go up and down the Mississippi River carrying passengers. Those ships have to be built in the U.S. So the shipbuilding industry, which is not competitive with the rest of the world, wants that law to stay in place because that way they can, you know, not have to compete on prices and wages and all the rest. So what they do is that they make sure they give lots of money, bipartisan, by the way, lots of money to senators in Hawaii, Alaska, and in places like the Gulf of Mississippi, where they build ships. Trent Lott was a very, Senator Trent Lott,
the
from
minority,
Mississippi.
Minority leader for many years, yes, in the Senate.
Was a very big recipient of money from the maritime lobby. So this is a, you know, it's a business. And it's being exposed right now because of the suffering of the people in Alaska.
I know, Mary, that it's a business, but this is before aircraft, before the highways, before the gasoline engine overtook everything in terms of transport in the United States, before pipelines, before fracking. They're reaching back to 1886. Everything's changed since 1886, and everything's changed since 1920 as well. What they're protecting no longer exists, except, I guess, of course, they're prohibiting competition, global competition. They're keeping out opportunity for other carriers who would very well be enjoy the investments of the American investor class if they were allowed to compete in the U.S. We're keeping out the world.
Yeah, I would say it's even worse than that in some way, because you point out highways. There's a lot of cargo that might be carried, taking some pressure off our highways. You know, because the Jones Act prohibits the introduction of all these ships that might be bringing cargo from point A to point B, a lot more of it ends up traveling on the roads, a lot more 18-wheelers on the highways, because you cannot use the waterways the way you should be able to use them if the ships could be built somewhere else and brought in and used to transport cargo. But, you know, going back to the way the world has changed, I would say the one thing that hasn't changed is, you know, greed and power. And the politicians want the donations that these special interests give them. And if, you know, a politician who says, I'm going to fight these guys, will basically be defeated in the next round because they will give so much money to their opponents. So it would have to be somebody or a group of politicians who are willing to go down. And, you know, there's a lot of log rolling that goes on also. I mean, John McCain was a famous staunch opponent of the Jones Act. He gave speeches and speeches and speeches on the Senate floor. But he was from Arizona. You know, you might notice there's no water around Arizona. So these guys know that they can pick their spots, places where there's water, places where there's shipbuilding, and they get control of the politicians in those markets.
And meantime, with 30 seconds to go, it is a foreign trip to go from Washington State, USA, to Alaska State, USA, if the Senate has its way. Is that correct? That's a foreign trip.
That's the proposal that Senators Murkowski and Sullivan are putting up to actually temporarily identify this route as a foreign route so that temporarily those ships can go to Alaska this summer. I mean, I think that a better path would be just to repeal the 135-year-old law, but something tells me that's not going to happen.
Mary Anastasia O'Grady, she's the America's columnist for the Wall Street Journal editorial board as well as the America's editor. And if you think it's foreign travel to go from Washington to Alaska, you get a 100 on your grade right now. I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, CBS Audio Network.